Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing, Easter according to the Nicene Creed, part 7, and Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 735, since January the 20th, 2017, day 1,200 since January the 1st, 2016, and so the Jesus Evangelistic Campaign rolls on. And at the end of this service, Daniqua, that song I pointed out to you that we heard the other day, Only Jesus, I want to sing that right at the end of the service. So, as soon as we sing our closing song, in fact, you can replace the closing song with that and play it on, and so we can sing that right after I give the salvation presentation. On this Easter, this Resurrection Sunday morning, I have a whole lot to preach and say, and I want to go ahead and forewarn you that I probably will not finish it today. However, by the grace of God, since I'm preaching the gospel every day, I will finish it tomorrow if I don't finish it today. Please turn in your Bibles, for those of you who are here for our earlier service, what we called our sunrise service. I've already read and preached on the actual story, the true story of Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. It is the most fascinating story in the history of the world. No human being could have written it. Only God could give something like that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, Paul said. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this Holy Week. We're approaching 10 years of preaching every day during Holy Week. A glorious week, but at the same time, for those of us who preach every day during Holy Week, the devil does attack us. And we thank you for protecting us, and we thank you for helping us not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so, Lord, I may be weak in my body, but I know that you are almighty and strong, and I pray that you would give me just a portion of your strength to preach your holy word, your holy gospel on this Resurrection Sunday. Lord God in heaven, we individually, for those of us who are saved, confess our sins and our disobedience, our stubbornness, our rebelliousness, bad attitudes, bad spirits, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And Lord, we have some among us, like Judas, who are not saved, but they act like they're saved. They look like they're saved, but they're lost and on their way to hell. They have hatred in their hearts towards you. They don't have love for you, because, and that's proven by the fact that they don't obey you and they don't stand with you now, and so they will never reign with you. They only want the fun part. They want the money. They want the blessings. They want the material things that they think they can get from you, and if they don't get it from you, they'll steal it, as Judas did, or they'll take bribes from the devil and turn against you and backstab you. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, people like that among us in every church, cast the demons out of their lives. Help them to realize they don't have to commit suicide and go to hell. I believe people who are committing suicide from the church today are Judases who have sold you for 30 pieces of silver. And they know it. They've been living a hypocritical life and they can't stand it anymore. And they have blamed innocent blood. And they have betrayed innocent blood. And they kill themselves because they have never been born again. Religious, and they realize they can't live the Christian life without Christ. And so they give up faking and being phonies. And they knew they were shams all along, and then they drop off into hell because they refuse to humble themselves before you, respect you, honor you, trust you as their Savior, believe on you, receive you, and depend upon you. They want to do things themselves. So, Lord, save the Judases among us, and save the people who are religious but lost. Demonstrate the power and the might of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I don't know how you do it, but I know you do it. And you have done it. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor. We pray for over 3 million souls to be saved. I earnestly pray that, and I really believe that you will hear and answer that prayer through this ministry alone. We pray for millions more to be saved. And so, Holy Father God, we pray for the revival of Christian people, Lord, who have lost their way, who have lost their soul, so to speak, and who are backslidden, cold-hearted, hateful, and mean. Help them to repent today because of the resurrection of Christ. Those who are going through troubles and difficulties, Lord, as one preacher said, help them to remember today the resurrection of Christ and how that Paul wrote about the power of the resurrection of Christ from prison. And so it doesn't matter what the circumstances are, they can be delivered. And Lord, those who are bound by Satan, we pray that you would break the satanic chains off of their lives. We pray that you would cast out the demons from their lives and help them to cut the foolishness out in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Christ. Lord, everybody who has a righteous heart in here today, everybody who has a heart that loves you, a heart that has been washed and cleansed, a soul and spirit washed and cleansed in the blood of Christ, help them to be extra watchful, sober-minded, vigilant. For the devil has already attacked us through Judases and Sanballats and Tobiases, and they're still ready to do their evil if other godly people don't pay attention and watch. Help them to do it. Pave the way for us for the remainder of this message. And Lord, make it clear to those who are lost and those who are saved. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy son, Jesus Christ, because we pray it in his name. And therefore, we know that you're going to answer this prayer. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank all of you for being here with us on Easter, Resurrection Sunday, and from all around the world. We thank you also for your amens, your wonderful comments. Just because we don't respond like so many people do, does not mean we don't appreciate your amens and your comments and your hearts and your stars on whatever you send up on Periscope, which is on two platforms here. We have two Periscope cameras going out of here, as well as two Facebook Live cameras, and we got Spreaker, and which is a podcast live on Gospel Light House of Prayer, Gospel Light Society, Go to Church Online and platform, and so many other ways that you can hear the preaching of God, the preaching of the Word of God live and then on demand. So we thank God for you not only being here with us today, but being here with us all week and all year, as I am preaching the gospel by the grace of God each and every day. Now, regarding this powerful passage that we just read and that we have read all week, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, it is important to note that the believers at Corinth did believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they would not have been saved. So Paul started his argument with that fundamental truth. He presented three proofs to assure his readers that Jesus Christ indeed had been raised from the dead. His first proof was their salvation. After all, a dead Savior cannot save anybody. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that powerful? So simple, people miss it. The proof of the resurrection of Christ is the fact that you have been saved. And if you have been saved, you have been transformed. You have been, as Jesus said, born again, anew. And see, sometimes people get it twisted. When we who are born again say that certain people who live a certain lifestyle cannot be a member of the church if they refuse to confess their sins and repent, we're not saying they have to do good works to be saved. No. And a million times no. Because people don't get saved that way. They get saved through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose again. That is the gospel. But once a person trusts Christ as Savior, and they're truly born again and saved, their lives will be transformed. Now, your life may not be as quickly transformed as the Apostle Paul's life, and I'm nowhere near the Apostle Paul, but my salvation experience was similar. God transformed my life overnight. I was changed into a new person. I mean, seriously. And I had nothing to do with it. I was going in a hell-bound direction one day, December the 18th, 1979. I trusted Christ December the 19th, 1979. I was preaching on the streets that Saturday, which would have been 20, 21, 22. December the 23rd, I was preaching the gospel on the streets of New Orleans. God had radically changed my life. My point is, you may not be that way. You may not do that. But what my point is, dear friend, that once you are truly born again and saved, you will be different. You will change on the inside. You cannot be born again and saved and continue in sin, because you will be convicted of your sins and bothered by your sins. So part of the evidence of being saved is that your life will change. You will not be perfect. You will still struggle from time to time, but you will be bothered by your sins. Why? Because you have Jesus living on the inside of you. So that's why we say that if a person is unwilling to repent of adultery, they cannot remain as members of the church, because evidently they have never been born again by the Spirit of God, by Christ, because the Holy Spirit of God inside of them is not dealing with them and causing them to agree with God about their evil. That's why we say that a person who does not and is not willing to repent of homosexuality or drunkenness or fornication, anything like that, and turn away from it, evidently they have not been born again. People who are truly saved, who may not even understand all of the ramifications, they will at least listen to the brothers and sisters in Christ and listen to the Word of God and come under conviction and will submit to that and repent of that and change if they want to be right with God. So that's what we mean when we say that. Not that you have to do certain rules to be saved, but once you get saved, the evidence of your knowing Christ is that you will fall under conviction about all of your sins. Your sins will bother you. There will be relationships that you will get out of because they're not pleasing in God's sight. That's one of the evidences of salvation. Paul's second proof was the Old Testament scriptures. Contrary to what some Bible pastors and teachers are falsely saying today, Brother Andy Stanley is telling folk that we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament, and that's a lie. That's heresy. It is not true. The Old Testament is very much a part of the foundation of our Christian faith, and don't you ever forget it. And don't you ever forget Jesus Christ is an Israelite. He's a Jew. So there's no room for anti-Semitism either. But where does the Old Testament declare Jesus' resurrection on the third day? Jesus pointed to the experience of Jonah. Paul also compared Christ's resurrection to the first fruits in the Old Testament. And the first fruits were presented to God on the day following the Sabbath after Passover. Since the Sabbath must always be the seventh day, ladies and gentlemen, the day after Sabbath must be the first day of the week, or Sunday, the day of our Lord's resurrection. This covers 3 days on the Jewish calendar. Paul's third proof was that Christ was seen by witnesses on the cross. Jesus was exposed to the eyes of unbelievers. But after the resurrection, he was seen by believers who could be witnesses of his resurrection. The resurrection is not just important. It is of first importance, because all that we believe hinges on it. End of quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on this Resurrection Sunday of Holy Week, the second Sunday of Holy Week, we are continuing our series drawn from the Word of God, the Holy Bible, and a historical text based on the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That was passed down from the early church all the way to us today, called the Nicene Creed. Not only are we talking about the power of Easter and Resurrection Sunday, but we are talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith, which I believe so many even Bible-believing Christians are ignorant of, because they've never been taught the history of the Christian church. And so that's why there's so much confusion, and I believe that's why so many Christians are leaving evangelical Bible-believing churches today for other things and other expressions of the faith, because they're confused. So we're talking about the importance of the historical Christian faith that was passed down to us from the early church. How that we as Christians who are falling away from it right now ought to return to it. We need to go back to the old landmarks. And just like God uses gifted theologians today to enlighten us as to what the Bible teaches, God raised up these men back in those days to create the Nicene Creed, to break it on down and to put it on a sixth grade level for everybody to get. Children have hidden these words in their hearts for years in certain expressions of the faith, the Christian faith, down through the years, or the Apostles' Creed, which I've already preached on. We need to return to it, and how that the world ought to hear it so they can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and understand why. And so, ladies and gentlemen, regarding the history of the Nicene Creed, and Dr. Ken Collins said the church formulated the Nicene Creed before it issued an official list of the books of the New Testament that were already in use as Holy Scripture. Another way of looking at it is that God chose the people who were bound by the Nicene Creed to affirm the contents of the New Testament. He didn't choose them like he chose Paul, but because the Nicene Creed is not on the same level as the New Testament or the Word of God, please understand. And they didn't say that back then either. They did not claim any special inspiration. They were basically commenting on what had already been written, and they were organizing it. And thank God for the organizers of the Christian faith. Thank God for the theologians who had deep understanding and historical understanding in the Word of God to bring it forth in a special, unique teaching format that people who were less educated, people who were ignorant, could get a hold of it and run with it and carry it to their villages. Amen, somebody. Another way of looking at it is that God chose the people, if you will, or better put, gifted the people who were bound by the Nicene Creed to affirm the contents of the New Testament. And by the way, it has stood the test of time, thereby endorsing the theology of the Creed. The Nicene Creed is therefore a reliable test of our interpretation of the New Testament. If we are at variance with the Nicene Creed, we are in error. Even though the Nicene Creed is not perfect, because it was created by imperfect people. In this series, we have looked at the, and end of quote, by the way. In this series, beloved, we have looked at the following factual truths from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty. How about it? Maker of heaven and earth. Are you there? of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father, before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made human. Then he was crucified for us, all of us, black and white, red and yellow. I know that we have racism and prejudice among ourselves, sad to say, but God loves us all. By the way, he loves us all. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and died and was buried. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today as we continue on, we will continue looking at the next section of the Nicene Creed, which I added to, not claiming any special inspiration, but I saw a gap in the Nicene Creed that is connected to the gospel according to 1 Corinthians, which some believe was the very first creed, 15 verses 1 through 8. That not only did Jesus rise from the dead, but there were many infallible proofs, if you will, many witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And so today we will continue looking at the next section of the Nicene Creed, or what I call the New Nicene Creed, which I added to because the First Church Creed, which we read already from the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, includes the testimonies, the proof, the evidence for the resurrection of Christ, and that should have been included in the Nicene Creed, because it is a vital part of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I will share more about in this message. And some of you are saying, ooh, who do you think you are to change the Nicene Creed? I'm not changing the Bible. In fact, everything that I have added to the Nicene Creed comes from the Bible. And for whatever reason, they omitted it. But it is, I believe, a vital part of the gospel. The third day, and here it is, the third day, he rose again according to the scriptures. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. That's what I added. We added the last two lines about Mary Magdalene, the other women, the disciples, and over 500 brethren to the Nicene Creed. And you will see why as this message unfolds. They are witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Amen, somebody. That is vitally important for a skeptical, unbelieving world. And that's why it was included in the first creed, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. It was included as a part of the gospel in those verses. Because I believe it was put there for the skeptics, the unbelievers, who are going to say immediately, "How do you know this? Well, here are the witnesses who saw Jesus alive. They ate with him. They talked to him. It is undeniable that Jesus Christ rose from the dead." And so, ladies and gentlemen, from the words of the Nicene Creed, we see three important facts about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in this, the climax of Holy Week. First, we see the necessity of Jesus' resurrection, as we've already touched on. Just as Jesus had to die for the sins of the world, as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. This is, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the most amazing story in the history of the world. Shakespeare could not have written this in a million years. Only God could do something like this. And that's why it stands the test of time. That's why Christians can listen to it over and over again. It is the most amazing story in the history of the world, and it is true. Just Jesus had to rise from the dead, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. It was necessary for Jesus to rise from the dead to prove, to be a part of the proof of his divinity. Jesus' death on the cross could not prove that he is God. Many criminals were scourged and nailed to a cross and left to die. Some sinners, I believe unwisely, have allowed themselves to be crucified over in the Philippines this past week, as they do every year. But they are not the Son of God. Even Jesus' miracles do not on their own prove that he is the Son of God. They are convincing proof that Jesus was indeed a man of God, but many of the Old Testament prophets worked miracles or prayed down miracles as well. However, miracles alone cannot prove divinity, that he is God. Romans 1:4, and I say this very respectfully, Romans 1:4 says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, I said with power, according to the Spirit of holiness. By the resurrection from the dead, it was also necessary for Jesus to rise from the dead to prove his power to deliver us from sin and to deliver to us salvation. Remember, the wages of sin is death. 1 Corinthians 15:17 says, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Therefore, dear friend, you're on your way still to hell." If Jesus had only died, he would have satisfied the Father's wrath, but we would have still been bound by sin and on our way to a devil's hell, because a dead Savior cannot save anybody. And I say that respectfully. We would still stand guilty before God with no hope of getting into heaven without the resurrection of Christ. Another reason why Jesus' resurrection is absolutely necessary is because it proves his ability to give eternal life. Romans 6:9 says, "Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him." Amen, somebody. Jesus' death and resurrection secured the means by which we will also be raised from physical death and go to live in heaven with Christ for eternity. How about it, dear friend? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or you're just showing up in church for Easter Sunday morning to perform a religious act? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ, the resurrected one, as your Savior? There were many witnesses who saw him after he died. So you can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of it, my beloved, as boarding a plane without having to worry about buying a ticket because somebody else has already paid for your ticket. When Jesus defeated death and hell and the grave and rose from the dead, he paid for our ticket to heaven. Are you on the gospel plane, the real soul plane? Ephesians 2:6 says that from the word of God, because of the resurrection, God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand it all. That's okay. Believe it all, like me. Even though we are not physically in heaven right now, it is just as good as if we were, because Jesus reserved our place by his resurrection power, by his resurrection, rising again. Simply put, without the resurrection, my beloved, there is no salvation. And Dr. John MacArthur said, the salvation of God demanded eternal life, the coming of the Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, ongoing intercession, the bestowing of spiritual gifts, the granting of spiritual power, and the outpouring of eternal blessing. Do you know him? His name is Jesus. Have you trusted him as your Savior? And Dr. MacArthur continues, and all of that hinges on the resurrection. If Christ doesn't rise, none of it happens. Absolutely none of it. Have you been born again? Have you been saved? I have so much more to say that would take me another hour to say it. But God is leading me to bring the plane on in and to give you the opportunity on Easter Sunday morning to trust Christ as your Savior. Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not talking about the fact that Mama and them went to church and took you. And all you know is church. But do you know Jesus on this Easter Sunday? I'm not talking about the countless times you quoted verses and played in plays in church on Easter and on Christmas. I'm not talking about the fact that you got baptized at the age of 12, but you know that you're still lost. I've been there. I know where you are. Religious, but lost. Church going, but lost. Serving in the church, but lost. Easter will never become real to you, my dear friend, until you trust Christ as Savior. And so if you are ready to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of salvation by trusting Christ as Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead. And there were hundreds of witnesses to the fact that he rose from the dead. And all you have to do is understand, first of all, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically because of our sins. Our body goes to a grave. Our soul goes to hell. Dr. Rick Warren pointed out in his famous book, he said, and I believe he was quoting somebody in The Purpose-Driven Life, that everybody knows that these bodies were not made to die. God put eternity in our souls, in our minds. This is why people are so angry and so bitter at death. This is why death tears people apart, breaks them down like nothing else, because we feel cheated. But God did not cheat us. The devil did, and we did ourselves. But we all know these bodies, these souls, these spirits, everything that God has given us was not made to just be here for a little while, but throughout eternity. And so thirdly, dear friend, accept the fact that if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not going to heaven, you're going to hell. You're on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a sad place, a place of darkness, a place of torment. If you believe everything else that Jesus said, if you believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world, then you have to believe what he preached about hell. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven on Easter Sunday morning. And by the way, this is not my first rodeo. This is not the first time I have preached the gospel and preached on hell on Easter. I started doing it many years ago to the shock of some of the churches I preached in. And that is a shame. Heaven is real and hell is real. You have a heaven to gain, a hell to shun, and a Savior to believe in. His name is Jesus Christ. Because hell is bad news, heaven is good news. And I have some good news for you today. You don't have to go to hell. Straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ, he said in John 3:16 one night, for God so loved the world, that includes you, no matter what you have done, no matter who you think you are, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him and avoid going to hell. But this is the reality. This is the truth, whether you like it or not. Whether you believe it or not, your unbelief will not change the facts. The fact is there is a heaven to gain. The fact is there is a hell to shun. The fact is there is a resurrected Savior to believe in. And you need to trust him as your Savior today. And that's all you have to do. The thief on the cross told Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't come off the cross and get baptized or join a church or give some money to the church. He went straight to heaven from the cross with Jesus. And that's all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the free gift of salvation from God by trusting in Jesus Christ. And pray and ask Him to come into your heart to save your soul today on this beautiful Easter Resurrection Sunday, early afternoon. Are you ready to do that right now? Remember these words. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you, shall confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell and a whole host of other things. Saved to what? Saved to heaven and a whole host of other good things. In this life and in the life to come. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you ready to call upon his name, believing in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ that he is God? He is God's Son. He died for your sins, was buried and rose again and took all your sins away. Let's do it right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight by choice and by nature, and I have broken your Ten Commandments by taking your holy name in vain, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by stealing things, by lusting after people and things and envying what they have, by lying, by perjury, for Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon me and forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in you, Lord Jesus, that you suffered and you bled and died on the cross for my sins, that you were buried and that you rose again on the third day, on Easter Sunday morning, and that you've taken all my sins away, and that it is a free gift, that I cannot work for it if I tried. I couldn't pay for it if I tried. So, Holy Father God, Lord Jesus, I believe on you. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, shed his blood and suffered on the cross for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. This is the gospel. This is the good news, dear friend, that he died for your sins. And this is the unadulterated truth, that he was buried and that he rose again and he took all your sins away. And he offers you a free gift by simply believing on him. If you have done that, dear friend, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or whatever platform you're on, whatever account you're on, check that email or Twitter or whatever and let us know. For we're on over 1,300 sites, I believe, around the world. And whatever contact information you see, contact us. But that's my personal email address. dw3@gospellightsociety.com. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loved you so much He died on the cross for your sins and for mine, was buried and rose again. And we love you as well by God's grace. And may God bless you real good.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.